Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. We're up to Book 14, Chapter 3. The so-called Partisan War began with the entry of the French into Smolensk. Before partisan warfare had been officially recognized by the government, thousands of enemy stragglers, marauders, and foragers had been destroyed by the Cossacks and the peasants, who killed them off as instinctively as dogs worry a stray mad dog to death. Denis Davidov, with his Russian instinct, was the first to recognize the value of this terrible cudgel, which, regardless of the rules of military science, destroyed the French, and to him belongs the credit of taking the first step towards regularizing this method of warfare. On August 24th, Davidov's first partisan detachment was formed, and then others were recognized. The further the campaign progressed, the more numerous these detachments became. The irregulars destroyed the great army piecemeal. They gathered the fallen leaves that dropped of themselves from that withered tree, the French army, and sometimes shook that tree itself. By October, when the French were fleeing towards Smolensk, there were hundreds of such companies with various sizes and characters. There were some that adopted all the army methods and had infantry, artillery, staffs, and the comforts of life. Others consisted solely of Cossack cavalry. There were also small scratch groups of foot and horse, and groups of peasants and landowners that remained unknown. A sacristan commanded one party, which captured several hundred prisoners in the course of a month, and there was Vasilia, the wife of a village elder, who slew hundreds of the French. The partisan warfare flamed up most fiercely at the latter days of October. Its first period had passed, when the partisans themselves, amazed at their own boldness, feared every minute to be surrounded and captured by the French, and hid in the forests without unsaddling, hardly daring to dismount and always expecting to be pursued. By the end of October, this kind of warfare had taken definite shape. It had become clear to all what could be ventured against the French and what could not. Now only the commanders of detachments, with staffs and moving according to rules at a distance from the French, still regarded many things as impossible. The small bands that had started their activities long before and had already observed the French closely considered things possible which the commanders of the big detachments did not dare to contemplate. The Cossacks and peasants who crept in among the French now considered everything possible. On October 22nd, Denisov, who was one of the irregulars, was with his group at the height of the guerrilla enthusiasm. Since early morning, he and his party had been on the move. All day long, he had been watching. From the forest that skirted the high road, a large French convoy of cavalry baggage and Russian prisoners separated from the rest of the army, which, as was learnt from spies and prisoners, was moving under a strong escort to Smolensk. Besides Denisov and Dolokhov, who also led a small party and moved in Denisov's vicinity, the commanders of some large divisions with staffs also knew of this convoy and, as Denisov expressed it, were sharpening their teeth for it. Two of the commanders of large parties, one a Pole and the other a German, sent invitations to Denisov almost simultaneously, requesting him to join up with their divisions to attack the convoy. "No bother, I have grown mustaches myself," said Denisov. The footnote says this is equivalent to saying, "I was not born yesterday," said Denisov on reading these documents, and he wrote to the German that, despite his heartfelt desire to serve under so valiant and renowned a general, he had to forego that pleasure because he was already under the command of the Polish general. To the Polish general he replied to the same effect, informing him that he was already under the command of the German. Having arranged matters thus, Denisov and Dolokhov intended, without reporting matters to the higher command, to attack and seize that convoy with their own small forces. On October 22nd, it was moving from the village of Mikulino to that of Shamshevo. To the left of the road between Mikulino and Shamshevo, there were large forests extending in some places up to the road itself, though in others a verst or more back from it. Through these forests, Denisov and his party rode all day, sometimes keeping well back in them and sometimes coming to the very edge, but never losing sight of the moving French. That morning, Cossacks of Denisov's party had seized and carried off into the forest two wagons loaded with cavalry saddles, which had stuck in the mud not far from Mikulino, where the forest ran close to the road. Since then and until evening, the party had watched the movements of the French without attacking. It was necessary to let the French reach Shamshevo quietly without alarming them, and then, after joining Dolokhov, who was to come that evening to a consultation at the watchman's hut in the forest averse from Shamshevo, to surprise the French at dawn, falling like an avalanche on their heads from two sides and rout and capture them all at one blow. In their rear, two versts from Mikulino, where the forest came right up to the road, six Cossacks were posted to report at once in any fresh columns of French, if any fresh columns of French should show themselves. Beyond Shamshevo, Dolokhov was to observe the road in the same way, to find out at what distance there were other French troops. They reckoned that the convoy had 1,500 men. Denisov had 200, and Dolokhov might have as many more. But the disparity of numbers did not deter Denisov. All that he now wanted to know was what troops these were, and to learn that he had to capture a Tung, that is, a man from the enemy column. That morning's attack on the wagons had been made so hastily that the Frenchmen with the wagons had all been killed. Only a little drummer boy had been taken alive, and as he was a straggler, he could tell them nothing definite about the troops in that column. Denisov considered it dangerous to make a second attack for fear of putting the whole column on the alert, so he sent Tikhon Shabatay, a peasant of his party, to Shamshevo to try and seize at least one of the French quartermasters who had been sent on in advance. Alright, there we go, another chapter down. And hey, we got some characters. How awesome. Ernie Pook said, on October 22nd, Denisov... Hurrah. No bother, I have grown mustaches myself. Lol. Questions. Number one, is this the funniest line in the book? I like that line too, Ernie Pook, and I wonder if that's like a common saying in Russian. I've grown mustaches myself. And I also share your joy for seeing Denisov again. How long has it been since we've seen Denisov? I actually don't know. It's been a long time. I wasn't even sure if he was still alive or not. It's been that long. Was the last time we saw him in that hospital? Surely not. Or we knew he'd survived that. I think we knew he'd survived that. Man, he's one of my favourite characters, and you'd think he'd remember something like that, but this book is just so damn big that you forget details like that. I do remember, I saw on the BBC miniseries the episode where he dances, and he does, I think he does quite an old-fashioned Russian dance, like old-fashioned even for them, for then, and Natasha and the Rostovs are all very amused by Denisov getting up and doing this sort of antiquated dance, and he does it really, really well and really energetically, and that's pretty early on in the book, and I saw that episode recently in the BBC thing. And it was really well done. It made me really like... It made me really like all of them. The Rostovs and Denisov. I just thought it was cool. Sardonicus09 said, I missed Denisov and I'm glad he's back. Me too. Funky Gene Flo, who I think might be new here. Welcome, Funky Gene Flo. Said, I love that phrase and I love Vaska. I laughed at the beginning of the Battle of Austerlitz when Nicholas was facing the enemy and thinks something like, they are coming to kill me. me, who everybody is so fond of. Oh, that's your contender for funniest line of the book, is it? Funky Gene Flow? Yeah, I actually think that was a pretty good one as well. Pretty damn funny. Yeah, actually, I would probably say that would be my favourite too, just because it was so, I don't want to say relatable, but yeah, I can totally imagine having that thought in the face of people coming to kill you, being like, me, but I'm me. why would you want to do that? Chad Alster said, thanks for picking this up, Ernie. Yeah, Ernie, good on you for stepping in and running the discussion for today. Very nicely done. AvidReader12345 said, in Maud translation, it actually is one long chapter. Yeah, I think, yeah, that might explain some things. It did seem like yesterday's chapter and today's one were cut into halves, or condensed into two things. Anyway, there was some confusion around which discussion related with which chapter, is what I'm trying to say. So, thank you, AvidReader12345, for pointing that out. And lastly, Who Was Once Delight quite simply said, yes, in response to the question, is this the funniest line in the book? Very, very cool. So we've got Denisov and Dolokhov back in the action. Dolokhov is one of those fun-to-hate characters, isn't he? And he's also really well portrayed in the BBC series. I was talking to Jerry, who's one of the Patreon subscribers, and saying how I was watching the BBC series, and Jerry mentioned to me that the guy that plays Dolokhov is also playing Coraman Strike in the Strike miniseries. Coraman Strike is a cozy mystery series which is written by Robert Galbraith, which is actually the pen name of J.K. Rowling. So that's something interesting that too few people know, that J.K. Rowling is working on a new series. She has been for about 5 or 6 years now, since Harry Potter. And it's a detective, cozy detective mystery story. But she writes it under a pen name, Robert Galbraith. So if you were a Harry Potter person and you feel like some gritty LA noir mystery, then that's probably something worth checking out. And I'm definitely going to watch that miniseries of that as well. So thanks, Jerry, for letting me know. I instantly disliked the character of Dolokhov in the BBC War and Peace series, because the actor was so unlikable, you know, and the character. So the actor is probably quite perfectly likable. He's just doing a very good job of portraying an unlikable character. And he had that smug, self-important, self-amused, I should say, kind of expression that was just like, it's one of those punchable faces. Which is a term I love. I heard that recently. Someone described someone's face as being like especially punchable, and absolutely. So I'm interested to see how he portrays this down and out detective in the Coraman Strike series. Anyway, this is all very sidetracked. Hey, the Patreon page is still up and running. I would love it very much if you check that out. Support the podcast for as little as $1 a month, or continue listening to free, for free. You're perfectly free to do that. Okay, I'm getting tongue-tied, so I'm going to wrap this one up. Thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.